morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Ford Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
I'm letting you finish your sentence.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it would be nice of me.
This morning.
I am subject to change. At any moment.
At any moment.
Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning, great Scott.
Are you well this morning?
I am well this morning, for now.
Good, good. Well, you've had a pretty difficult several days, beginning last Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Last Saturday morning,
and
yeah.
You came to work and didn't stay long.
Let's see, I was here about 2 hours.
Two hours, yeah. Well,
Something like that.
When you left, in a way you hadn't planned.
No.
Yeah, you left in an ambulance.
I walked across the street, and the gentleman over there took good care of me and found out what the problem was, and they said, we're taking you to the hospital. So
yes,
off to the hospital we go.
And is that the first time you've ridden in the Paintsville, Kentucky Fire Department ambulance?
Well, I rode up front with family members. I think in the back, yes.
Yeah, a different feeling in the back, isn't it?
It is.
A whole different feeling.
It is. I'm used to helping with those things,
yes.
But it's really hard for me to let somebody else do the work. I told the guys that as they were unloading me.
I remember a number of years ago when my beloved had some kind of an attack, and she went to Highlands Regional in an ambulance, and I followed behind in the automobile, and I thought, how strange this seems.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being a preacher and being around the hospitals all my life, I'd never been there with my wife.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
It's different.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that back. I was there with her when the kids were born,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, but, you know. Yeah, that's different. That's a little bit different, I guess.
I'll tell you what, that birthing babies is hard on us husbands. It's really tough on us, isn't it, brother?
If you want to give us a call, you can do that at 606-789-0318. 789-0318. You can email us the question at godspointofview@yahoo.com. godspointofview@yahoo.com. You can check us out on our new Facebook page. We're still learning and we're still growing with that. But we are at God's Point of View and we are live on Facebook. So if you want to log in there and maybe send us a question that way, or you could text it to the great Scott.
Yeah, you could do that. Out of the area, 606-367-0137. Of course, in the area, no 606 required. You could text me a question or a comment. I have the cellular device here before me, and now before all the folks. And let's see, I've got a text message here, but that's not the show.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Or you could call me later if you wanted to.
Sure.
606-367-0137. Love to talk with you. Still having difficulty even now, Timotheus, with the video live feed on my
on your iPad?
On my iPad device here. It tells me that I need and maybe someone out there listening would know the answer to this.
Yeah, Marby may be watching.
Get some free tech support.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
we didn't have that last week.
Yeah. So when I hit the button here to
monitor,
I'm looking at it here in order to monitor the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But it keeps freezing up on me, so I'm not sure what that's about.
Well, that's interesting.
One fellow told me one time, he said, just turn it off and start over.
Yeah.
Because everything everything, if from time to time, needs to be reset. I know I do.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's kind of like what vacation's about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Unless, of course, you don't like to take vacations, and then if you don't like to take vacations, it's just more of a hassle. Right?
That's not my problem.
I know it isn't.
I like my vacations.
I know that's not your problem.
Maybe yours.
Timotheus, I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, we have something I wanted to take care of from last week. You can give us a call or send us an email. We have an email, and we'll get to it in just one moment. But I want to go back to last week and talk about that headline that I shared. And the headline was Transgender Man's Baby.
Yeah,
Be the first person without a legal mother.
I was totally confused with that.
Well, I can see why you would be, because we didn't get all the story last week.
Harvey.
Well, of course. Now you get the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is that one of the individuals, the person that had the baby, was actually a woman who has been transgendering to a man for a number of years, and was taking testosterone.
Okay.
But had skipped it for a few days.
Okay.
And this is how then she became pregnant, had the baby. But the I think it was the New York Times, left that out completely. Didn't even bother to talk about those past things.
I'm still a little more confused than I think.
We're leaving the story.
The
story's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we forgot. Except to say that it is biologically impossible for a man to have a baby.
True.
Yeah, one of the first things you learn, I'm told, in biology class, I slept through most of my biology class. I had a baseball coach. His name was Maxie Hammond. And Maxie was a good old guy, had a great coach, and I loved him. And he played me a lot on the team.
Was he the one taught you the famous pitch?
No, I'd learned that back in my Little League days.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I thought Maxie would pass me just because, hey, I was a baseball player.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Oh.
And I had to take the class over again. You know, God does us that way sometimes.
Is that biology?
No, actually, that wasn't biology. That was Algebra 1.
Well, what's that got to do with the biological things we were
Absolutely
talking
nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
I guess you just need to get that off your
Well,
chest.
I need to throw these things out to help the young listeners.
Yes.
To learn that just because you feel privileged in some way doesn't mean you're going to always get what
Not
you want.
Carry you through.
That's exactly right. So, that being out of the way, let's get to the question, Timotheus. What do you say?
Yeah, we've wasted enough time.
No, never a waste of time. Never a waste of time.
We'll get to some good stuff.
And
here.
Let's see if I can...
I was thinking biology because my senior year, my second semester of biology,
Is this going to take long,
no,
brother? Okay,
no.
All right, go ahead.
I had to retake it because I failed part of it.
You failed part of it?
Part of my biology, second semester, and I think I was a junior,
yeah.
So I had to retake it my senior year.
I see.
I did.
And you passed?
Yeah, I passed.
Okay.
Done the little frog thing and all that stuff. Anyway.
Good for you. I felt sorry for the little guy. Here's the question. Good morning, Jerry and Timotheus.
Oh, good morning.
Was listening to a preacher that said, quote, "We already have the Holy Spirit in us," end of quote. Let me finish reading the question. He said, quote, "We have fullness and are complete in Christ, and he has sealed us," end of quote. Now, here's the question. Now, I thought you had to be saved and baptized in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Can you elaborate on this?
Good question.
Not only can I'd be happy to elaborate on this. It is a good question. And there's a lot to unpack.
Yes.
In this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things to unpack would be, folks are feeling sorry for me now, trying to get this, this cellular device going. The first thing we would want to unpack is whether or not the preacher was referring to a Christian or to a non-Christian. It doesn't say. The querist doesn't say whether, in fact, the individual in question or the individuals, Christians, people in general, we being you and I, have the Holy Spirit already in us. Or the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us after our conversion, or there are even some doctrines that teach that there are various degrees of that and various degrees of sanctification. So there's a lot we don't know here, Timotheus, but there are some things we do know.
Yes.
And let me just say that in every case of the Holy Spirit, with the exception of a couple of them in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was always given afterwards, that being after one completed their gospel obedience. And then, for fear that we will not get to this part, the email ends with this. Now, I thought you had to be saved and baptized in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Can you elaborate? Let's talk about some passages of Scripture that first confirm the fact that the Holy Spirit is given to Christians, people. There's two occasions, and then we're talking about New Testament, not Old Testament. We're talking about New Testament. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit would come on occasion on people in the Old Testament, but it never stayed. Mm-hmm. It would come and go. So in the New Testament, we're talking about a gift known as the Holy Spirit that God gave to every baptized believer. Now, Acts chapter 5 says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. We see Jesus in the early pages of the Gospel of Matthew walking some 60 miles to John the Baptist where he was baptizing in Jordan. And Jesus, being the Son of God, did not need forgiveness, but Jesus needed to set an example, and Jesus needed to be able to fulfill all righteousness. That's what the Scriptures say in Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. When John saw Jesus coming, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Again, that's the King James translation. I have need to be baptized of thee. John actually forbade him. Stop. No, I can't. I'm not going to do this. Yeah. I have need to be baptized of thee. Verse 14 of Matthew 3. And comest thou to me? Verse 15 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it, or permit it.
Mm-hmm.
Permit it. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. He permitted him. It behooveth us, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus said in our language today, our common lingo, this is something we need to do because it is a part of the righteousness of God that we do this. And we might ask here, what is righteousness? The Bible says in Psalm 119 that all of God's commandments are righteousness. So Jesus is saying this is a command of God and we need to do it. If you leave your finger there and turn over to Luke's gospel, Luke talked about a similar thing, in that the Pharisees and Sadducees refused to be baptized of John's baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, the Bible says they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Now, when you reject the counsel of God, you reject the commandment of God. There's no other commandment coming. God's the last word. Through His word, the Holy Spirit brought us. And if they rejected the message of John, they're rejecting God.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to throw that in. So Jesus comes along, verse 16, and when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. This tells us a couple of things. Number one, he went down into the water.
Yep.
There wasn't any such thing as sprinkling. I'm going to make everybody mad today, aren't I, to mow this?
You're going to try.
There wasn't anything known as sprinkling.
But the truth
then
is the truth.
As we view God's point of view, this is how we see it, and invite people to call and give us their opinion as well, and we'll take those calls in the order in which they come. But again, back to the question: when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, just another way of saying, behold, look,
yeah.
Suddenly, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. When did the Spirit descend? I'm not trying to be factious, I'm not trying to be contentious, but folks, the Bible reads just the way it reads.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit fell on Jesus after his obedience, after he was baptized. He didn't have sin. He did this as an example. He did this to show us what obeying the righteous commands of God were. Lower voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Not only did the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus when he obeyed, I know what some of you are thinking, but he was already God. I know that. But while he was upon the earth, he was subject to the commands of God. Jesus gave up some things when he came to this earth.
He did.
He gave up his rights.
Yeah.
So he came to obey God and to show us what that looked like. And so he did. And that's when it was said, "I'm well pleased."
Do you think that, because Jesus was God in the flesh, and it's something to think about, to think that the Spirit came after he came out of the water, that if he's God in the flesh all that time before that, maybe he didn't have the Spirit, but we'd have to think he had something. But maybe
he was God. He was
God in the flesh.
By the way, I finally got it here, Timotheus.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But listen, Don, and say something so God's point of view knows you're here. Oh, okay. All right. I'm not sure who typed that, but did I type that?
You must have. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're learning. We continue to learn, folks.
But
we're old. Don't forget that.
I noticed you said we. But back to what I was talking about, or is it that God is showing the humans an example of just how important baptism is? Because if Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized, okay, and then he was baptized and then the Spirit fell on him, if he does that, wouldn't that be a huge example to the rest of us?
You would think. I'm muting it now.
Yeah,
I have the sound up. Sorry.
That's okay.
You're a highly trained broadcast professional. I wouldn't want to, so I apologize. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Timotheus.
I mean, if Jesus did it, if Jesus himself, God in the flesh, God's only Son, then why wouldn't we want to do that? Because that's huge.
Most people who want to do the right thing won't argue with that.
Yeah.
The person writing the email is wondering, did this preacher mean that everybody had the Holy Spirit prior to their obedience?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he meant. I don't know.
No.
The text doesn't say. But I'm assuming he was talking about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. Let's turn there and look at the text here. He says,
now, in Galatians or Ephesians?
I was just talking to myself.
There, oh, okay. All right.
Which is a bad thing to do on the air.
When you're confusing.
Yeah.
Everybody.
If I start arguing with myself, look out.
I'll turn your mic off.
Turn the mic off. Ephesians 1, and let's start reading about, verse 13. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed." We want to have a conversation about that word "believed." We may begin it today and continue it the next time. But having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit.
When?
When you believed.
When you believed.
Now, you see, we have to talk about that and unpack that some, because the Bible says in James 2:19, the devil believes.
Mm-hmm. And trembles.
And trembles. He's not going to be saved. So what does the word "believed" mean? That's what we're going to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of His glory. I assume this person that the preacher was referring to, that the emailer's talking about, was a Christian. And if that is true, if that is so, if he was talking about a Christian person, he's absolutely right. The Christian person has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a seal. Now, you know, they put the stone across the entrance to Jesus' tomb, and there was a Roman seal applied. And no one messed with the seal.
Yeah.
And at the penalty of death. God, of course, rolled that stone away. He had the authority to do that, indeed. But no man would have messed with that seal. That seal said it, you are not to cross. You cannot be, whatever's inside here stays inside. Of course, God had a different plan. Jesus arose on the third day. But it's the same idea. We're sealed. We belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil cannot touch us.
Yeah.
The Bible says in John 10, verse 28 and 29, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. But we can.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Get ready to say, we have a choice to do that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, hi, Shelby. Shelby's watching this in, I guess, in Lexington.
Bless her heart.
So now I hope that answers that question to both. It's about the preacher's comment.
Well, and I kind of thought when you read it that it was some way of saying that the Holy Spirit's in each human being, maybe laying dormant until you're baptized, until you believe and become a Christian. And then that's kind of the way I took it when you read that question.
Maybe that's what he meant. We don't have the advantage of knowing what.
Yeah. Don't know for sure, but
because the text doesn't say.
Yeah, but if back to what you said, when Jesus went, then why did the spirit that looked like a dove come down upon him?
Yeah.
If it was already there.
Yeah.
Just a question.
And a good one. Now, okay, there's about a half a dozen directions we could go with this.
That's a lot. It's like crawling up a tree.
And I want to do the least harm. So let me start here. In Christendom, there's any number of views about any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this subject of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to this subject of baptism and all of those kinds of things, most Christian people will tell you that they think baptism is a good thing to do. It's the first act of obedience after you're saved. It shows you are saved. If you refuse to be baptized, then you probably aren't saved. All of those kinds of things. And we as many different churches as there are that dots our landscape, you got a different opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not trying to convert somebody to our view or tell them they're wrong or any of those kinds of things. We're trying to simply present what we believe God's point of view is. So there's all kinds of views. Then there is the Church of Christ that comes along. I'm talking about the a cappella wing of the Restoration Movement that believes to use an instrument of music in service or sometimes anywhere is wrong. Really narrow group of brothers and sisters that believe that the Holy Spirit. Some doesn't believe it lives in you. Others believe it comes through the Word of God. So if the more Bible you have in you, the more Holy Spirit you have in you. All kinds of odd things, Timotheus and listeners and viewers. Good people, wonderful people, no doubt, many of them are, as there are in all of these churches. Mm-hmm. So you've got one side of Protestantism that says Protestantism is anything but Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So one side of Protestantism that says you're baptized after you're saved. That's one view. And the second view is, in that first view, they don't put as much emphasis on it as the Bible does.
Mm-hmm.
The second view will say that the only thing you need to worry about is just getting baptized. I've had people
get them in the water.
Get them in the water. That's all that mattered.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more than that matters. If the heart isn't changed, if the heart isn't converted, you just got wet for nothing.
Yeah.
So one view says, you know, you're saved before you're baptized. The other view says you're saved after you're baptized. Those two views pretty well dominate in Christendom, certainly in our area, and I've found in other areas as well. But there's another area.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that yours truly represents.
Okay.
See, I started to say we represent, but I don't want to talk for you. You can talk for yourself.
I can talk for myself. But I know where we're going.
The third view simply says that it's a process and that you have to take all of the counsel of God on any given subject.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll deal with the exceptions to that, like the household of Cornelius and that a little bit later. But as a general rule, everybody who came to Christ, and you could look at There's a whole list, and I have a whole list of scriptures right here, Timothy, is before me. It's not a matter of what I think, it's a matter of what the text says.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible never, and this gets back to the emailer, the Bible never mentions you're saved first and then baptized. There's no example, none, zilch, nada, of an unbaptized Christian in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, I gotta have a drink of coffee.
Well, you're exactly right. There's many instances about baptism, you know, the eunuch, Jesus himself, John. I mean, there's 3,000 baptized when the church started. I mean, yeah. What? So it is important. Yeah. So you can't just leave baptism out.
You can't leave it out.
But at the same token, there's other, repentance is huge. It's just like baptism.
Sure.
It all has to take place.
It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, let me be careful to point out that we're not condemning anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that people who thought they were saved, and were baptized, we're not saying you're not saved. We're not saying you're not living right. We're not saying any of that. We're trying to say what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And for instance, Mark 16:15-16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, someone listening may be saying, someone watching may be saying, well, that sounds an awful lot like the Church of Christ, non-instrumental Church of Christ to me. Well, you need to look a little more deeply. Or maybe I need to explain myself a little more. The Bible says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That doesn't belong to the Church of Christ. That doesn't belong to a Baptist church or Methodist church. Those words came from Jesus. Those words came from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you believed exactly that way, whether you were taught that way, but you believed that you needed to do it because it's a command of God, you're as much a brother in Christ as Timotheus over here is. You're my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You see, your salvation is not contingent upon that you believed everything perfectly. Your salvation is contingent upon the fact that you have obeyed God, and God has granted you remission of sins. Now, why do I say that? Because Acts 2:38 does. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. Now, how far do I want to go with that little word for? There are those who say that the little word for is because of, while others say for means in order to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at a scripture and see what, look at another scripture. Jesus said, this is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for. Now, does that mean because my blood's already been shed, or for the remission of sins? It's already been done, or it will be done.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a problem with that there, do we?
No. It's been done.
So Jesus says, I'm going to shed my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Sins weren't forgiven before he shed his blood. It's the same word. I've looked it up.
Yeah.
I looked it up in the Greek.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah, and it looks like it's E-S-I-S, I believe, and it's pronounced ace, I believe. I think that's right. I just know a little Greek.
Yeah. Here we go.
We're not going to go there.
He's not Canova anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. Over on 4th Avenue in Huntington, by the way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now notice, getting back to the email, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit came then later. Now we got a listener referencing Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13, let's go to the King James and read it.
You better hurry.
Oh boy, it's 10:59.
I know you're in this deep, brother, and yeah, I don't want to cut you off.
Well, let me respond to this, brother.
This is important.
Yeah, it is important. Romans 10:13. Here's what it said. Here's what it said. So, and the pages are sticking together. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you call upon the name of the Lord? You call upon the name of the Lord in obedience. Paul was baptized. He was told to be baptized after 3 days. And Ananias said, arise. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You call upon the Lord in obedience. We got to go, Timotheus.
And hey,
to be continued.
To be continued. So be sure to join us next week for another edition of God's Point of View at the same time, and we'll continue this discussion. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. I'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And thanks again today for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View.